Meeting of June 11th, 2019. First thing is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Good morning, members of council. Mr. President, at this time I have no recommended changes to today's agenda.
Any motion to approve the agenda?
So
motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I have the motion carried. We have the minutes of June 4th. Any questions, corrections? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Reading correspondence, Mr. Moore.
I have none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Public comment, Mr. Guy. Thank you, sir. Jim Martin.
Good morning. How do I explain to you something that you may never have experienced? How do I explain the homeless experiences of the working poor to you who may never have experienced homelessness for yourselves? And hopefully you never will. So here's my attempt. Sussex County has seen a boom in luxury housing construction that has left young people, seniors, regular working people with nowhere to go to the bathroom, nowhere to sleep at night, and nowhere to wash up. Because we are now 17,000 rental units short of what is needed, we now have zero housing supply available for rentals in Sussex County for the working poor, and absolutely no more Section 8 units available. More and more young people, senior citizens, and regular working people are living in their cars, pitching tents in the woods. Personal hygiene situations are getting more and more horrendous because they relieve themselves when and where they must. In other words, they have no toilet to use. They go on random outdoor properties because they can't find a public bathroom to use. Because of this, it is being reported that the medieval infectious diseases are resurging among the homeless populations. Typhus, hepatitis, germs can easily jump beyond the homeless population to our sheltered citizens. This is just one big reason why we need to work together to solve our housing crisis, because we also may have public health and public safety crises looming in Sussex County. As a council, you should vote yes on a new ordinance that would prohibit local discrimination of poor, low-income families. Vote yes on a possible new ordinance that would encourage fast-track approvals for new mobile home parks. Vote yes on possible new ordinances that would require towns and cities in the county to install easy-to-find public bathrooms that are accessible. And also vote yes on a local ordinance creating safe parking areas with public restrooms for car dwellers so that they can get some stress-free sleeping while maintaining their day jobs. In closing, I just have a few questions for you to think about. Are low-income Sussex County residents being pushed out of our county because of discrimination? How do you enforce the county fair and affordable housing laws if you have no county fair and affordable housing laws in place to enforce? What will be your specific initiatives as a governing body to solve our current crisis? Can you become homeless for 1 week in Sussex County and learn firsthand what many of our citizens are experiencing? Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Martin, for the record, you did not give your name and address when you started.
Yeah, my name is Jim Martin, 237 South Bedford Street, Georgetown.
Thank you.
Paul Reaver.
Paul Rigger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown. With Board of Adjustment, hopefully we'll have the three appointments done by July 1st, ready to roll, and then the one for planning and zoning. Hopefully all the past few years of getting that rectified, everything will be done correctly with all the requirements and qualified applicants. Second thing is, last week I read off that opinion. Couldn't do it thoroughly, don't have enough time with the 3 minutes, but I believe that you would have gotten the understanding of it. It all pertains, when you're coming into the county code, with what's listed and advertised on our website, where it's telling you to go, what the animal counts are, what the setbacks are, it's all tied together. The commercial kennel, dogs, the livestock, horses, everything is tied into one simple envelope and all are based on similarities. Now, 2 months, I believe it was a couple months ago, we brought up the thing about the article about alpacas down in southern Sussex. Would happen, and the article said 20 alpacas plus more coming. Now, the more I've read that, our code for under 5 acres, I'm trying to find out where or how in the code you even have an avenue to allow that on under 5 acres. I brought up the point with public stables missing under AR, but it's under GR. I would like to use, now I know you have public comment, I would like for one of you to ask or somehow get it on record how that can be completed or through. So there's a simple understanding on how we're interpreting the code and giving an avenue for somebody who may be running a perfect business. You need an avenue for the applicant, you need an avenue for the neighbors. It's a fairness issue that has been punted now since Vance Phillips was here when I first started bringing this up. We've been going through this since the nightmare. It's time that it has to be challenged now. How do we fix it? What do we do? It's becoming a little ridiculous with everything popping up every so often. That is the major issue that I still have, and I just hope that we can do it. You have the 3 commercial dog kennel cases to compare also. They're finding the facts is coming out the end of the month, I believe, and one of the last one that was just under a Board of Adjustment, the finding of facts appear to be on the agenda for June 17th. There seems to be three different, 3 applicants, 1 variance, 1 non-variance, 1 something totally different. We need it to be consistent. Third thing is with the code. When do we update 115 from the ordinance that you approve? When do we take it out of the code and update it with the current information? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. I know you like this subject, traffic. I tell you what, you guys don't have the foggiest idea what traffic is all about. Friday of all days, we get a phone call. A man had been flown to Thomas Jefferson Hospital in Philadelphia, and the wife does not drive in city traffic. So she asked me and the wife if we could take her up there. No bad deal about it because we didn't have enough to do that day anyhow. We left here, we get up to, everything was fine then until we get to the Pennsylvania line. Then the nitwits came out of the woodwork, literally. And from there on out, I tell you what, every time I turned around there was another nitwit. So we get up there, we find a hospital. We were there for 2 hours and about 10 minutes. It cost me $26 for parking. No big deal. And I sure pity the people that are there for 24 hours a day being charged. So anyhow, we left from there. She wanted to stay, so we left. And we headed south. Sure enough, we finally found 95. And I had not been up there north of the airport in probably 30 years. So I knew the area from the airport south. We got down to Chester, and there again, boy, nitwits coming out of woodwork. We get to the Delaware line, and it was just like snapping off the light. There was no traffic. So we get down 7 miles from Route 1 exit, and all of a sudden, bam, traffic stops. There had been a tractor trailer overturned, and everything stopped. Now you talk about real nitwits coming out of woodwork. They tried everything in the book. Now I'm going to tell you what, these Pennsylvania drivers, hey, they want to come down here and complain. They want to then move down here and complain about the traffic here. They ought to stay back up there because that's where the problem is. But then they want to come down here and complain about the traffic here. Hey, you're the problem with Sussex County, because if you hadn't shown up, we wouldn't have no traffic at all. And it took us 2 hours to get through that little traffic. But hey, I enjoyed it. I literally enjoyed it watching the nitwits trying to get in and out. Thank you.
You had time to chew your gum, didn't you?
Do what?
You had time to chew your gum.
You got it.
Mr. Lawson.
Okay, Mr. President, a couple items to get to today, starting with a proclamation. I have a proclamation on behalf of the County Council recognizing Home Ownership Month. I'll read the proclamation and then we'll take photos issuing the proclamation. Proclamation proclaiming the month of June as Home Ownership Month in Sussex County, whereas owning a home is an important part of the American dream, and the Sussex County Council realizes that home ownership benefits individuals and families, strengthens our communities, and is an integral part of our economy. Sussex County Council realizes that home is where we make memories, build our futures, and feel comfortable and safe. The Sussex County Council, in partnership with the Delaware State Housing Authority, USDA Rural Development Nonprofit, housing agencies, and the Sussex County Association of Realtors, will continue to provide assistance for home ownership for Sussex County citizens. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council does hereby proclaim the month of June 2019 as Home Ownership Month for the American Dream in Sussex County. Be it further resolved that the County Council urges all citizens to wholeheartedly recognize this effort throughout the year. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, President. I believe we have some staff members here to receive the proclamation.
Why don't you hold this? You smile, Brad. Brad, I'll do best we can. Look okay. We got a Hollywood talk.
I just want to say thank you again for proclaiming June as Home Ownership Month here in Sussex County. And we are missing our partners from the Sussex County Association of Realtors. This is usually a joint proclamation. And I did just want to note that Sussex County has the highest home ownership rate in the state of Delaware. We are at about 82% compared to 70% in Kent County, 70% or 66% in Newcastle County, and the national home ownership rate is 64%. So we have a very high home ownership rate. So thank you for your support.
I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brad and Brandy. Okay, next item is Board of Adjustment appointments. Mr. President and members, I put this on the agenda today to make some announcements related to the Board of Adjustment. I know that we have had some recent announcements related to some retirements, and therefore we do need to announce your intentions of appointing a membership for those vacancies that will take place. I'll start with District 1. Mr. President, I understand you have an announcement to make today.
I do. Mr. Mills, I announced his intention to retire a couple weeks ago. He's done a great job hanging on there. This is his 27th year. It's a long time. But we're certainly going to miss him. I do have a person I'm going to nominate, Dr. Kevin Carson.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Moving down the line, District 3, Mr. Burton, I understand you have an announcement as well.
I do, and Dale Calloway has indicated to me that he will retire at the end of his term, and he also has done a great job for the county. So with that being said, I'd like to put forth the name of Jeff Corman.
Okay, very good. And those two appointments are going to be made in time for their tenure to start July 1, as code would state. We also have a member of the Board of Adjustment whose tenure will run out at the end of June for District 5, and I believe Mr. Riley has an announcement today for District 5.
I do. I intend to nominate Ella McGee for a second term. I think she's done a good job, and I think her experience will be especially valuable with the new members coming on board. So it's my intention to renominate her at the appropriate time.
Wonderful. Okay, so for District 1 and 3, we'll begin the application process and bring forth those nominees for their public interview here on a Tuesday. We only have two more Tuesdays in June left. Depending on the agenda, we'll get them in, and then we'll put Ms. McGee on the agenda as well for her reappointment, and by the end of June, we will be hopefully fully appointed for the Board of Adjustment moving into the beginning of their tenure. Thank you all. Next item is the Advisory Committee for Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities appointment. I was asked to put this on the agenda today. We do have a vacancy on that committee, and I have a motion here for your consideration involving District 1. Mr. Vincent has a candidate for their appointment, Ms. Helen Pace. Would you like me to read the motion?
Please read the
motion. Be it moved that Sussex County Council approves the appointment of Ms. Helen Case to the Sussex County Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities effective immediately for a term of 2 years.
Pleasure, Council.
I make a motion.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Next. Thank you. Last item, County Administrator's Report for June 11, 2019. One item. Per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, the Estuary Phase 2 through 1 construction record and the Woodlands Phase 3 received substantial completion effective June 3rd and June 5th, respectively. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to take the time to recognize some of our employees for exceptional customer service. On the screen, you will see employees who have received the recognition for the second quarter. A committee of supervisors and employees reviewed all the submittals and would like to highlight three employees. The first employee is Kristen Cooper, the South Coastal Library. Normally, there are six staff on duty at the library. However, due to multiple reasons, on March 1st, there were only two. March 1st was also the opening day of registration for the library's March programs. The phone lines rang nonstop with Kristen registering 99 patrons during that morning. During the entire time, Kristen remained calm, polite, and courteous to every single caller. She did everything she could to ensure that each patron had the most positive experience possible. The second employee being recognized today is Chad Maris of the paramedic department. Chad arrived at a scene where a patient was slumped over at the driver's seat. Chad quickly noticed that the vehicle was still in drive and the patient's foot was resting on the brake pedal, holding the vehicle in place. The patient awoke but was very disoriented. The patient's foot slid off the brake pedal and the car began to move forward. Chad could have allowed the vehicle to roll away with the patient in it without injuring himself. However, Chad immediately dove into the car, forced the shifter into park, and shut off the engine. Chad's quick actions and situational awareness prevented what could have been a motor vehicle crash with others involved. The third employee being awarded today is Anna West of the paramedic department. Anna was dispatched to a scene where a boy found his mother in cardiac arrest. Unfortunately, Anna was the only one there that could tell the boy that there was nothing else that could be done for his mother. Anna held the boy in her arms and had a moment of tears together. Hearing that the boy was hungry, Anna made sure that she got him what he said was his favorite food, a sub from Wawa. Anna deserves to be recognized for her utmost care, not only for the patient, but for the patient's family. We'd like to thank these three employees and the other employees being recognized today. If the three could come up for the second quarter awards and receive your awards. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. probably skip the next thing on the agenda, don't you think?
Slow our lives down a little bit.
Yeah. Mr. Medlars, please come on back.
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, council members.
Good morning. Good morning.
I don't know whether I should come forward uninvited, so. But I'm going to kick it off from the engineering department, and Mr. Brown's going to take one of the Chapter 96 projects, and then Mr. Ashman and I will close out a report about some public hearing we had and a couple of extensions. So the first one is our general labor and equipment contract. You know, this is actually, we have concluded year three, which is pretty good. So the first time when we bid it out, it was a two-year contract. You awarded the first year with a one-year extension. Engineering department comes back, reports to you what the first year was, performance satisfactory or not satisfactory, recommend the extension or not. So the second bid we had under the current contract was a possibly a three-year contract, which is definitely in our advantage, because you may not fully understand, but the unit prices they give us are good for 3 years with no escalation. Zero. So given the work, given the environment in the bidding world today, I'm sure they thought about these numbers long and hard, because the contractor could certainly make probably more profitable work otherwise. But we're very happy to have them. The work has progressed greatly, and we are ready to make a recommendation for the first one-year extension, which would be the second year of a three-year contract. Now, what I don't have yet is the closeout of FY19. Once we receive the final bill, and you know we touched it a couple times for the change orders, and these are really most of the time just scope changes, but sometimes we also move money around, especially when it goes between operational funds and capital funds. So what we don't have yet is the closeout for the FY19 contract. So in about 6 weeks, you should see me again giving you the final recommendation of scope changes and or monies which need to be moved for FY19. So this is the anticipated work schedule for the FY20. And I gave you this time just the broad categories. Before, we did not do this, but I think it was working with finance. We felt it was important to show you where these numbers fall. And these are all budgeted numbers. So these are numbers you see again next week in the budget presentation by the finance director. And these, I'm just sort of bringing them forward. So you see, you're not approving the numbers per se. These are the categories we use. If we were outside of these categories, we would come back to you and say, we need to move money between 3 and 2, for example. That would be something you would approve. If we're moving them within these numbers, that's what we would do. If we change the priorities within the wet wells, we'd rather do 16 versus 17 because of X. We don't come back to you for that decision. So, approval today for the next fiscal year. 6 weeks from now, close out FY19 if anything needs to be moved around outside the funding approved or the scope approved categories. And biggest highlight of last year was the work on Route 1A. Biggest job, very complex job, extremely difficult. It's done. We are finished. We're not going back. And this was a legacy county job with county design, county inspection, and we had to engage in a major repair. So we're definitely on the damage prevention side, Mr. Hawks and I, very carefully working today to not create this issue again, a similar issue again in the future.
That'd be a good thing.
That would be a great thing.
You have a motion?
Be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that award of the first one-year contract extension for contract 19-01 FY19 general labor and equipment contract be approved at the unit prices previously bid in the amount up to $7,395,000 for FY20.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I vote yes. And if I heard you a while ago, you said we're not going to see you for 6 more weeks?
No,
that's what I thought you said. Is that what you said?
On this topic.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that part of it. Mm-hmm. Brown, step down here. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. President, council members. Back in April, I was here to discuss the Chapter 96 program requested by the Owl's Nest, a subdivision outside Selbyville, about 1,500 linear feet of roadway improvements that were requested. Resolution was passed in April to hold an election for the project. I'm here today to provide the update on the election results and offer a resolution as defined by the code to move the project into a design and bid phase. So the election was held in accordance with the Chapter 96 code on June 5th, 2019 at the Selbyville Public Library. A total of 8 votes were cast, 7 in person, 1 by absentee. All votes, eight votes were cast, 7 in person, 1 by absentee. There were 17 parcel owners in the subdivision, but the election is based on the actual votes that day. All votes were in favor, so it was an affirmative vote for the project to proceed. I've drafted a resolution that authorizes the county engineer to put together the design package for bidding purposes and move it into a potential construction phase and allow the finance and engineering departments to then work through the assessment role.
Okay. You have a resolution?
I do. A resolution authorizing the Sussex County engineer to perform improvements and the Sussex County engineer and finance director to determine a uniform assessment rate for billing upon substantial completion of the improvements for the Owl's Nest Chapter 96 Sussex Community Improvement Project.
Pleasure, council.
Quick question, Mr. President.
Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second, Mr. Burton. Questions, Mr. Rowe?
There's no requirement for a minimum quorum on a vote like that. In other words, it's like a school board election. Whoever shows up gets to vote.
Correct.
And the other property owners are bound with no recourse.
Correct. Previously in the code, there's several steps. The petition or the request first comes in from the entity that controls the roads. In this case, it's the Homeowners Association. We responded to that by drafting a preliminary cost estimate and then formally sending out a petition process. The petition process required a majority response to move then to the next step, which was to come before council, explain that we have greater than 50% of the petitions returned in favor of the project. That resolution then takes us to the election phase of the code, which is just like an election.
If you don't vote, then it's on you.
Correct. Right. Correct. Okay.
All right.
Questions?
May I add to the councilman's question?
6 more weeks.
6 more. This is not a Dell code requirement. That is a county code. So after Mr. Brown and I worked through these, we have 3 more in the pipeline, various stages of this roadway thing. And one of the three is most likely going to drop off after some significant effort on our part to be put into this. So this was written in the 70s, and as you can see, by the code requiring more than 50% of positive petitions, the referendum is a foregone conclusion unless people have amnesia or change their mind.
Right.
So we'd like to come forward with, and I don't know which one of our attorneys we work with, but both of these, the 95 and 96 chapters, our chapters, should be updated to take this redundancy out one way or another. Either we go to a referendum straight up, or we go to a petition process. And I was sort of hoping you would ask that question, because that was one of our goals for this year, is to update these two, to bring them into the 21st century and not in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. That's what you're gonna have done in 6 months, 6 weeks, right?
I'll try.
Okay.
Are you going to introduce the referendum to us?
Any more questions?
I was going to Hans, right? Introduce.
No, Mr. Brown did that. Mr. Hans is taking a break. He's been busy. Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Carey. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Ashman.
He's going to put it on the floor.
Let's talk about Sherbert.